Because you can handle the truth. Truth.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is Ralph Kermit Widower II coming to you live out of Alaska. And where is the no legal duty in Title 26, the Internal Revenue Laws? I am going to debunk this nonsense. And hopefully clarify it. This is the biggest con that's been going on for decades. And it's just unbelievable. And what they do to people, that's why they get people to plea bargain, is an extortion. They are using the threats of incarceration or indictments to get you to submit to a plea bargain, which is 95% or better. People don't fight it because it's the threat of going up against something that is so rigged. And they did that to John Thornton. There's going to be a coming to Jesus meeting, if you want to put it that way, or whatever. There's going to be there's a solution coming. But the one that I'm working on, a couple of them I'm involved in on research is now, is James McAlpine in North Carolina. And they did a search warrant, search and seizure, came to his property, his business property. No affidavit with it that's supposed to be there. I'm going to go over that in detail again. No list of the property to be seized, which is supposed to be there. So how do you know that the search warrant is valid? And it's beyond belief. And I'm going to play a recording here between a Don Gast, G-A-S-T, where he called and it was questioning why there's no affidavit, who is the person that did it, what's the name of the government, where's the Council for the United States of America, because that's what they use to prosecute, of which is a sovereign body politic, which cannot exist in today's world, and it's never even been adjudicated. This stuff is just beyond belief. So anyway, I'm going to get around and play this clip of this call, and then I'm going to get around and go into great detail of how to deal with the Internal Revenue criminals, the IRS. Okay, I've got a second here yet to get it lined up. But this guy has already got him indicted. He wants a plea bargain. And he's using a threat, and that's called extortion, by the way. These notices of federal tax lien are totally all unconstitutional, unlawful, if you know who you are, and if you understand how to deal with these guys. But it's that's what I've been. I fought all of these little arms, and I finally got down to what Title 26 is basically don't have anything to do with you and me, except prove that it's nothing to do with us. The whole. Okay, well, we'll go ahead with the clip now.
Good morning. Thank you for calling the U.S. Attorney's Office. How may I help you?
Is Mr. Gass available?
Let me check. Hold on one second.
Okay. Jim McAlpine, we talked the other day. How are you?
Yes, sir. Good. How are you?
Listen, going over this stuff, I just jotted down some questions, if you don't mind. I appreciate some help on it. I understand that, you understand that I'm not using an attorney at this point. Is that your understanding?
Is it my understanding that you decided not to hire a lawyer?
Yes, yeah. I just wanted to be clear that I was communicating that correctly to you.
Whether you hire one or not is up to you.
Right, yeah, I understand.
I strongly recommend you otherwise. But
right. Yeah, sure, I know. On the first page of the warrant, it says that an application for a federal law enforcement officer or an attorney for the government requests a search of the following person or property. And it talks about Western North Carolina, et cetera. And it gives the property address. And then in parentheses, it says affidavit and attachment A. Mm-hmm. So my first question is, was the search warrant filed by a federal law enforcement officer or an attorney for the government?
The affidavit was signed by a federal law enforcement officer, and then the judge signed it.
Oh, okay. All right. It says there's a copy of the attachment A and the affidavit, but it wasn't there.
They don't normally serve the target with the attachment. They just serve you with the actual cover sheet. But you'll be able to get that once you're indicted.
Well, how do I know whether there was an affidavit? Is there one, or how do I even know there was one? It says on the search warrant that it's there. It says it's attached.
Right. Yeah. Again, this is why I kind of strongly recommend you get a lawyer. And the reason being is that you're kind of focused right now on technicalities. I'm not suggesting the technicalities aren't important. They are. But those kinds of technicalities are things that would be properly addressed post indictment. This target letter that you've been served with, this is an opportunity for you to get a lawyer in order to negotiate something that perhaps might be more favorable to your interests before indictment. And so I'm not, the purpose of this pre-indictment period that we're giving you is not to dicker over technicalities. That's not the point of it. The point of it is to, if you get a lawyer and we want to start negotiating a plea resolution, I'm happy to show them all the documents that if your lawyer is concerned about technicalities, I'm happy to show them all those to them. But I'm not going to show them to you if we're not The purpose of this time period is to negotiate a plea resolution. If you don't want to negotiate a plea resolution right now because you're concerned about technicalities, that's totally fine. It's just that we're going to indict you, and then we'll deal with all that after you're indicted and after you're arrested. So it's not that's not the purpose of this time period that we're building in. And I understand that that's confusing because you're not familiar with the process, which again is why I strongly advise you to get a lawyer, because like I said last week, you wouldn't want to perform surgery on yourself. I think representing yourself is not a very good idea. This is all complicated territory, and the law is difficult, and there's lots of technicalities that your lawyers will understand better which ones are worth pursuing and which ones are not. But
but don't I have a right as pro se to this material?
You don't right now because you've not been charged with anything.
So
that's what I'm telling you. You're misunderstanding the purpose of this next couple weeks. The purpose of this next few weeks is to give you an opportunity to engage in plea discussions. It's not to go through all these technicalities. Like I said, technicalities are important, and and you certainly have the right to have those addressed, but that right matures once you're indicted. You don't really have that right now.
So I don't have the right to determine what the probable cause was for this search warrant at this point.
I'm not going to give you legal advice because it's a conflict of interest for me to give you legal advice. So I can't answer questions like that for you. That's again why you have to have a lawyer. If you don't know the answer to those questions, then you need to either find the answers out yourself or get a lawyer that can help you with those.
If I had an attorney, would you be disclosing this to him? Would you be sharing this material with him?
If he was really that hooked up on that issue, I probably would. But your attorney would probably not be talking about those things at this stage, because this is not the time for those issues to be discussed. Again, you're getting an opportunity that most people don't get by getting served with a target letter. Most people, when they're charged with crimes, they're just indicted and arrested and brought in, and then they get their full discovery rights, and they have an initial appearance, and they have an arraignment and all those things. You are getting a target letter because it's giving you an opportunity to get a lawyer and try to work out a plea pre-indictment that is maybe end up being more favorable to you. And not everybody gets that opportunity, and so no, you don't have rights to discovery. You don't have rights to certain things at this stage because you've not been charged with a crime yet. Any more than anybody else who is under investigation for a crime could come and demand seeing things. Because if you've not been indicted, you don't have a right to those things. You get the difference?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm just wondering. So the attachment A, the affidavit weren't there. It seems like that's not in compliance with the search warrant, though.
I can't tell you legal. Legal advice. I can just tell you I have every confidence in that the indictment is the search warrant is valid. And really, you know, whether it is or isn't, because it's kind of immaterial to your charges and the target letter right now. But yes, there was an attachment. You just weren't provided a copy.
Okay. Even though the warrant said that it was attached.
It was attached when the judge signed it.
Yeah, but I mean, the copy that I was supposed to be given doesn't have it on, so I'm kind of in the dark, and I'm not able to defend myself or, you know, to respond properly. And another thing, it doesn't list the property to be seized. I mean, a warrant's supposed to have that on.
Yes, that also is an attachment, and that was the search of the judge. And, you know, whether or not you were given a copy, I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head, but I take your word for it that you say you weren't. But once you're indicted, that will all be part of your discovery. But again, I think the better use of this time is to get a lawyer so that we can begin the negotiation process. Now, if you're not wanting to negotiate, if you're wanting to simply fight it, then that's totally fine. That's your right. We'll start talking about these things once you're indicted.
Okay. Back in 14, there was a case filed that I was involved with. It was case number 1-14, MC9, and the plaintiff or petitioner was the United States of America. So is this the same plaintiff? plaintiff or petitioner in this instant case?
Well, there isn't a case right now. You haven't been indicted. Pre-indictment negotiation time. But
there's a case number. So
right. There's a case number for filing purposes when there's a search warrant issued. But there's not a criminal case initiated against you yet.
Okay.
That's what the target letter says, is there's one coming. So you need to, or you ought to, you're advised to get a lawyer so that we can engage in plea negotiation. If you can't or won't do that or don't have a desire to do that, that's fine. But then we'll talk more when you're indicted.
Okay.
And arrested.
You know, on the on the search warrant, it refers to this case states by an attorney for the government on the search warrant. So I'm presuming that the government is still the United States of America. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So who is the counsel for the United States of America in this case? Are you the counsel?
I'm the prosecutor handling the case, yes, sir.
So you would be the counsel for the United States of America?
Yeah, I'm the prosecutor side of the case, yeah.
Okay. All right, so you're saying again that if I get an attorney, you will communicate with him and give him information that you're not giving me that I'm asking for. Is that correct?
Well, again, you need to talk to an attorney because you're not understanding what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is that I can't give you legal advice, and I don't want to have plea negotiations with an unrepresented person because I think that's bad for you, bad for me, mostly bad for you. So once you're indicted, if you want to still go pro se at that point, you can. It's just at that point, then that's when you start having rights attaching to rights to discovery, things like that. That's when those rights mature. So it's not that I'm not willing to share things with you. It's just now is not the time for that. And if you have a lawyer and want to earnestly discuss plea negotiations, then I will be happy to make a reverse proffer and show you and that attorney both everything that you would need to satisfy yourself that you are in enough of a pickle that plea negotiations is something that you need to do. Now, if you don't want to engage in those kind of discussions right now, that's fine. But I'm not going to be showing you those things outside of that posture because it's not time for that. You don't have a right to it yet.
Okay.
You know, indicted, you have a right to discovery. There's a rule 16. There's a rule that tells you what you're entitled to once you're indicted. And certainly, we will of course provide all that at that time. But again, you're.
I'm
putting the cart ahead of the horse.
I was not asking about giving it to me. I was just saying if I have an attorney, would you speak with him? You know, pre-indictment.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because then I don't have the concerns that I'm negotiating with an unrepresented person.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And we'll be in touch.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.
There it is, right out of the mouths of a criminal. They came with a search warrant, which is mandated to be limited to the property that is to be seized and withheld. Oh, but James can't see that. There's supposed to be probable cause and an affidavit attached that says in the search warrant, oh, but James is not able to see that. And all of this stuff supposedly only matures after indictment, which he keeps inferring you're going to be indicted. Well, discovery does not cover the authority of a search warrant. Back in a minute. I can't make this stuff up anymore. I don't know what's back in a minute. Thank you.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Well, we're back here. And what does one do with something like this? What's going on? That was so many things that are unconstitutional, illegal, and it's called extortion. Oh, these are technical things. You don't have a right to a search warrant. They come into your house, your business, copy your hard drive, take documents out, and you don't have a right to see what the limitations are on the search warrant? Oh, those are technical issues. You need to get an attorney. But they're under discovery. No, that a search warrant authority is under, has to be given to you, because how do you know what they're there for? And if you don't let them in, they're going to break in. I think we call that extortion. Oh, by the way, where is the probable cause? Because you see, now with the information I have now, the probable cause, and then he said it was a law enforcement officer. Right, yeah, you betcha. And it's all sealed, by the way. The case is sealed. Where is the probable cause? Which I'm going to get into, of how to blow this thing totally wide open. All IRS stuff. We have been lied to. There's been a lot of patriots fighting this thing for decades. And of course, since we have the internet, we can do a lot more work than the people that found this stuff by having to go to law libraries and read the pages, thousands of pages of nonsense. It could be done now in about 10-15 seconds. And I unequivocally tell you, if you are fighting any of this stuff and you do not have Westlaw or Lexis, you're in over your head. Because you can't do it from strictly going to the law library. Chris, Las Vegas, question or comment?
Comment, Ralph. Under Rules of Evidence 4 of the Federal Rules of Criminal and Civil Evidence, an affidavit determinant is required to be served with any search warrant. And that affidavit, like you say, should be examined by a judicial officer prior to being issued for the presence of probable cause before it is issued. You're exactly correct on your observation relative to that. Not only that, under R11E of the Federal Rules of Evidence, they are required to be signed in wet ink on white paper by the injured party, or at least the person trying to seek the indictment or the warrant. Frequently, the attorneys will sign these things, and they're not competent to witness anything.
Nope.
They're conflicted and biased, and they can't witness to anything they don't have first-party competent knowledge of.
Yep.
And so if you don't have an injured
party... Well,
we got
a search warrant signed by a judge with a probable cause with all the attachments, and none of the attachments are there.
Well, exactly. That's grounds to set it aside in the first place, because they misrepresented materially the fact that the so-called suggested affidavit in the search warrant was there when it was not. So therefore, it was sham, legal, fictitious service posed as process.
Absolutely. I agree. 100%. And you saw this guy. Oh, you're going to be indicted. What this is called is extortion. We want you to plea bargain before you even see the documents. Come on now, James. Surrender.
Well, since attorneys are foreign agents under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, that would be a foreign and a domestic threat and terrorism.
Well, it is. I don't know if I can prove that, but I can tell you one equivalent. Attorneys can't testify to facts that they don't know. And I can tell you how to blow these guys out of the water with a few simple questions, because there is a known legal duty in Title 26. Do you know where the known legal duty is in Title 26 for who has to withhold and deduct money?
The withholding agent, as I recall.
Nope. Yeah, the withholding agent. But who is it? Who does it have application to? Huh?
I don't know that one.
Okay, that's what I'm going to tell you on how to go about doing it and how to back these guys into a corner with the simple concepts into a corner they cannot get out of. How about
Thanks,
those
Ralph. Hope we help. You bet.
Okay. Yep. This is so unbelievable. It's just, I don't know what to say. It's all about coercion and to get you to surrender. It's just unbelievable. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website Angioprim.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, there is so much unconstitutional, illegal extortion in that, what that guy said. And we're going to be, I'm going to provide the research to James and he'll look it over next. We're going to deal with it. We're going to see what they do. But how do you deal with this verbally? How do you talk to these guys? How do you back them into a corner? Where is the no legal duty to who has to file? How do you word it? How do you get around the fact that they say, oh, the tax is voluntary, but then you go to jail? What? How do you debunk this nonsense? Well, you have to understand, and I'm going to start off with a known legal duty is like a tax. Any tax is a known legal duty. You go to the store, you have a known legal duty to pay a sales tax on whatever you buy. That's a percentage. That's a known legal duty. So the words that you want to use to trap these guys. The thing is, you can't get technical on them to begin with because they'll back off. If you notice, interestingly enough, in that thing is he finally said the government was the United States of America. He didn't say who filed the search warrant. Well, who filed the search warrant? Who's the real party of interest? Oh, that's sealed. Well, you see, since 1913, well, since there's no citizens of the United States or came about, which they have no elective franchise and no right of suffrage, and since they got rid of the 17th Amendment, United States of America showed up in 1913. You will always find it in all of the United States District Courts, which, by the way, are easily proven to be unconstitutional courts. Easily proven, but I don't want to go there. I've done that in other shows. But they have no authority to do anything. They're made up, and we can prove it. They're stuff. But the question is, how do you talk to these guys and prove that what they're doing is extortion? And where is the known legal duty in Title 26? Is there a known legal duty for you and me in Title 26? And the answer is unequivocally no. But is there a known legal duty within Title 26? And the answer is unequivocally yes. But how do you, say you're in front of a grand jury. Now, these people are all taxpayers. They have a belief system. They all know they got to pay taxes. They all think they're citizens of the United States. They've signed penalties of perjury to do that. How do you penetrate that? How do you expose this prosecutor? Well, I got a couple of very simple questions. Sir, if I was in front of the grand jury, first of all, there are only two possibilities why I am here. And what are they? What are the two possibilities? Why would I be in front of a grand jury with an IRS issue? There's only two things. I was required to deduct and withhold any tax, and I didn't do it. So there was some law that said I was required to deduct and withhold any tax. Those are really neat words. They cover everything. If I'm required to do it, deduct and withhold, and it says any tax. That covers everything, even though there are five subtitles in Title 26. It's everything. So the question to the thing is, when the grand jury asked a question about the money or gross income, I don't understand, sir, is this about the charge? Is the charge about that I was required to deduct and withhold any tax? That's the first option. Like a sales tax. I was required when I bought $100 and had a 3% sales tax, I had to pay 3% on it, $3. So is this your question? Because, see, I'm going to answer all the questions. I'm not going to use the Fifth Amendment. But the thing is, I can only answer questions of which you are establishing facts to a charge. You are limited, sir, to only ask questions to the grand jury or to present facts for the indictment that directly, and they're called the essential elements of the crime, which I'll get to eventually. But let's keep it simple. I'm going to answer all your questions. But I have to understand, is what you're talking about, it's one of two things. And it can only be one of two things. Is this charge about I was required to deduct and withhold any tax? Yes or no? Or was it because I failed to file a return of money that was already deducted and withheld? I wanted money back. Those are the only two options available. Either the money that was required to be deducted and withheld, I did not send in, or somebody didn't, or I didn't file a return asking for money back that was already there, that was withheld and deducted. Which is it? He's got a problem. He can't get out of it. Because it's a simple thing. Either I didn't send money in, and I was required to deduct it, me or somebody else, or there's already money there, and I'm getting prosecuted for not filing a return to ask for it back. Those are the two options. There are no other options. Because otherwise, why are we here? If I wasn't required to deduct or somebody and send it in, that's got to be me. You can't be prosecuting. Or if there's already money there and I'm being prosecuted for not asking for money back. Those are the only two options. Now, why would I want to limit it to something really simple? To try to explain to the grand jury to get them and to suck this guy into a corner that he cannot get out of. It has to be one or the other. If it's not one of those two, what is it? Why am I here? What's the purpose of your question to me or to the grand jury? Why are you asking me about money in a bank or a piece of paper that says grocery income? Because, I don't even have any knowledge that these documents are even true and correct because, you didn't give me this stuff ahead of time because you said I didn't have that right, even though you came and searched and took stuff out of my office, so I can't even answer that. So many ways to screw with these people. But this is the killer. This is a jugular, to keep it really simple. Remember that anytime you see the word, the whole con is definitions. Means is exclusive use, giving a new meaning, a totally new exclusive meaning to a word or words. And they will be in quotation marks, and it will say means after them. If you run into one that says includes, it has to be like type. You're talking about birds, they all got to be birds. They can't be something else. But the ones that kill them is means. There are 859 definitions, approximately, of term definitions in Title 26. And you don't need much. The one that is the killer is 26 U.S.C. 7701A16, the definition of withholding agent. We got in Rappert's case in Minnesota, the gal says, I was a withholding agent. What's it mean? I don't know what the term means. Have you ever looked it up? No. Are you going to look it up? No. Even the two people that testified for the state of Minnesota we know the terms. Well, what's the terms mean? We're not going there. And the judge shut him down. Because this is the jugular, because that's a simple concept. And the concept is, we get to the technical side of it, is, did I not send money required to be deducted and withheld? Yes or no? Or did I not file a, quote, return asking for money back that was withheld, required to be withheld by somebody or me? Which is it? It's one of those two. Now, what is a return? A Form 1040. It's called an implied in law contract. What's the purpose of a return? A Form 1040. What is it? A return is an implied in law contract. What does that mean? A return is, I want the benefit of having money come back. There are three types of contracts. There are express contracts where you and me get together, you and somebody else, and we have terms, and both sides ends up with a benefit out of it. There are implied in fact contracts, which are like how they get you to sign away your automobile when it's brand new, because you get the benefit of, you're giving money and you get the benefit of having tags and all this other, so it actually will qualify as an express, but it's called an attorney-in-fact or an implied-in-fact contract. And there's the third type. It's called implied-in-law. It says, I want money. I want some benefit from you, but you have no duty to me. And that's what I've got cases on with the IRS out of the Federal Court of Claims, a constitutional. I want a benefit. What are some types of those? A mortgage is an implied law contract. You want to use the credit of some bank to buy something. They don't sign, you do. It's also called a Jewish shtar, commercial paper. They used to be called Jewish shtars. But they're a mortgage is a form of an implied in law contract called a Jewish shtar. Started by the Jews, amazingly. That's just hard to believe. And, of course, this is why people don't understand as soon as they get the, quote, loan, next thing you know, that mortgage, you're supposed to be making payments to some company, and next thing you know, you say, oh, by the way, it's been sold to another company. What's the purpose of that? Because they take your signature, that credit that was given by the bank, and they sell it to another bank, and they get money. They have turned their credit and your signature into money. So now they have something in their control that they can spend. And you say, why are they doing that? Well, of course there's a reason. And they discount it 4, 5, 6% points because they take credit and turn it into money. So why, if you could get around and get somebody to take your credit and their signature and turn it into real money, wouldn't you give a discount of 4 or 5%? Absolutely. What a con. I signed up for commercial security agreements when I had a business. And I never even read the dang thing. Boy, was I dumber than a rock. And I challenged them on a loan. I wanted the original documents back because I was starting to wise up. And they said, we're not going to give them to you. Here's a copy. They gave me 10 days and they were going to take away, and they were going to own everything that I had except the shorts and the clothes I had on my back. Because you see, I didn't read the rest of the part. If we feel uncomfortable that this loan is insecure, in other words, if you challenge us, we can make everything due and payable in 10 days. Who would sign something like that? I was all up on payments. I just pissed them off. I'm not supposed to challenge them. Luckily, somebody came up with the cash. That's another long story, but I survived that by the skin of my teeth, not even knowing what I was doing. So anyway, back to this. The question is so hard for, it seems, if I explain it to people, is there has to be a law requiring due and required to deduct and withhold money to give to the IRS. There's got to be a law, just like in sales tax. There's a law that says if you buy $100, whatever the sales tax, you got to do it. The other one is called a return, and they get you people normally for willful failure to file. So the question is, how can I be prosecuted for failing to file a, quote, return asking for a benefit that does not bind the IRS but only binds me? Totally illogical, right? No. It isn't. But this other one, I'm going to tell you why it's not. Because you've also heard that it is voluntary. Well, how does that comport? How do you get that tied in with, by the way, the definition is in 7701A16, which says, withholding agent, the term, in quotation marks, withholding agent means any person. Any person is defined as individuals, which is a citizen of the United States or a law alien lawfully admitted over here, and trusts and all that other stuff, required to deduct. Required to deduct. Does that leave any doubt that you got to do it? And withhold. There's the and conjunction. So you got to, you're required to deduct and withhold. And it says any tax. That covers about everything out there, you think? Under the provisions, and it lists three of them, 1441, which is a subtitle A, non-resident aliens, 1442 is a subtitle A, foreign corporations, 1443 is a subtitle A, which is a foreign organization, and 1461 says, if you are have any of these folks that you're dealing with and you don't withhold the money, you're liable, but if they are not one of those three and you withhold, you can be sued. So now we get back to the question, well, how do you comport, how do you put that together with the, you've heard that, well, the income tax is voluntary. It is. There is no law required to deduct and withhold if you understand the questions. The known legal duty is in Title 26, and it strictly is limited to who? Foreigners. Well, then how do they make it true that they say it's voluntary? Because you see, under the Social Security Act of 1935, and I got this out of the legislative history too, by the way,
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, well, we're back here, and again, it's Title 26 doesn't have any application to you except to show that it has nothing to do with you and me, because it says withholding agent means, and you ask the question, which is so hard. I've explained it to several people. Required to deduct and withhold. Am I being prosecuted or questioned or whatever or money that was required to be deducted and withheld and sent to the IRS, yes or no? Or am I being prosecuted or the question for not filing a return asking for money that already was withheld either by me or somebody else required to be deducted and withheld? There's only two options. And they get us for willful failure to file a return. So they're prosecuting people for not filing a Form 1040, which is an implied in law contract. The law says so. And it is asking for a benefit. It does not bind the IRS, the other guy. It only binds you. Because the IRS can take your Form 1040 and say, oh, no, well, you owe us more money or whatever. People were under the misunderstanding that when they signed that, it bound the IRS. It doesn't do that. You're asking for money back. You can't have money returned if it hasn't already been withheld, unless you're maybe like a sole proprietor and you do it all at one shot. Usually most people, sole proprietors, do estimated tax. But you can do it all at the same thing. But they could still not, it doesn't bind the IRS, because they can say, no, we're going to disallow this deduction or whatever. So how is this that you, how do you make that work with the income tax cases that say, no, it's voluntary? Because of a W-4. And it comes out of the Social Security Act implemented by the Buck Act, with assistance of the Buck Act. So how do they pull this con off? They say, and this is right out of the, it's part of this is out of the Social Security Act, but it says there are two types of taxes in the Social Security Act. There are income taxes and there are excise taxes. Okay, so what is the excise tax? That comes out of Article 1. Let's see, it's Article 1, Section 8. It says, Congress have the power to imports and excise taxes. So what's the excise tax? If you are a citizen of the United States, you have to have that status under the Social Security Act, which is all it has application to. The money, the FUTA, the employer, the money that is sent in to the government for unemployment insurance is clothed under the constitutional excise tax. And the money that is withheld from you for your requirement is called federal income tax. That doesn't seem kosher. That's right in the legislative history, and part of that's right in the Social Security Act. So there are two types of taxes. The employer puts in FUTA, unemployment taxes. They did this in the Depression because they say, oh, all these poor people, they don't have any employment taxes. They're unemployed and they're starving to death. And we got an emergency. Let's get it on. How did they make the states surrender? It's something called a state plan. They got all the states to sign a state plan. They covered stealing children, driver's licenses, all sorts of stuff. It's called a state plan. And the state plan has nothing but federal regulations. Get one. I've got one out of Alaska and I have one out of North Carolina. So they used the emergency. And so imagine if you've got somebody that's under the common law definition of employer, but he doesn't offer unemployment insurance. He doesn't offer a retirement program. Which you going to go for? Hey, man, this sounds better. This is better over here. I'll get around and this guy that I go to work for, he's going to offer me under the, because they don't tell me that, the excise taxes. And he is going, just under FUTA, he's going to get around putting money in so that if I get unemployed, I still get money. Well, sounds better to me. Kind of like an insurance plan, right? Then all I got to do is I got to get around and have money withheld for a retirement. Man, I can retire on this stuff. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a benefit, too. So Congress can control it, and of course, there's no money there. They steal it, but that's another. But they call it a federal income tax. So how do you make it voluntary? Because that doesn't agree with Title 26. Oh, I guess we're